ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 19 of CNC. I'm just going to start shortening it from here on out. I am your co-host, Nathan Kennedy, joined by Tyler Baker. And first of all, I want to give a big thanks to JSP and GrimTube. Been hanging out in the chat room for about 30 minutes now, waiting for us to get this shindig going. But Tyler, how you doing, man?
Doing good, bud. It's going to be an exciting day of doing another trifecta of podcasting as well today. But, you know, I really look forward to doing these cartoon commentaries so frequently and kind of expanding our universe of fanboydom or fanism, whatever the hell you want to call it, about all these classic cartoons. And it's fun to expand even further with what we're doing today. And I will say, like, Transformers 2, I was not as into it as a kid, you know, because it's more about He-Man, Thundercats, G.I. Joe, and Turtles, and a lot of the other stuff. Even though I like Transformers a lot, I just never – the toys were always kind of intimidating to me and complicated, almost as if, like, yeah, that's the truth. I only owned, I think, two Transformers as a kid, and it was just kind of like –
I don't know if I'll do it right. What a dumbass.
Yeah, it made me feel like I needed a damn PhD to play with the damn thing, you know? And I don't want to have to sit there and
no,
just
seeing
how complicated they were. Like, I want to start playing now, you know?
No,
hang on, dude, a sec here, you know?
I totally understand what you're talking about, because for my birthday this year, my parents got me, like, a commemorative Soundwave. And I'm sitting there trying to, you know, transform them, and I'm just like, it made me feel a little bit like an idiot. But it turns out on one of them the head was actually turned on it, like, wrong. Mm-hmm. So I needed to, like, pop it off and then set it back where it needed to be, because I was like, I know I'm not this stupid, why can't I figure this out? So I actually, let me, right here in front of me, apologies if there's any, like, clanging around here. But, I mean, luckily it did come with instructions, but I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And then I'm like, oh, the head's not on right. Okay.
But you shouldn't have to deal with that kind of problem.
I know.
I remember when the first piece of shit film came out, you know, they were releasing a lot of, like, you know, looking Transformers to kind of to tie in with the movie, not movie figures, but even though I did buy, I think, one of them because I was – hoping the movie was going to be good and not be let down like I should have.
If I remember correctly, the first time you saw it, you did like it a little bit. I think it was one of those things I think where you're trying to convince yourself the theater that you enjoyed it.
I remember the girl I was dating with at the time, like, we went on, they were doing, like, advanced screenings, like, on Monday. Like, the film was supposed to open on Wednesday, and they were doing, like, screenings on like, that Monday. So we went to the 7 o'clock that Monday. I had my Decepticon logo shirt. Oh God, I was so pumped because, you know, at this point, I really loved the Transformers mythology and the characters and everything, and was excited for, you know, because I was told the screenwriters that this is not going to be a movie about the humans. This is about the Transformers, and you can expect to see this guy and this guy and this guy in the movie. I'm like, great. See the trailers. I thought the trailers were pretty good. And sure enough, it's a movie about the damn Marine Corps. It's a movie about Shia LaBeouf saying, what would Jesus do? And all these other shitty-ass jokes. And, oh, yeah, by the way, here's a Transformer. Oh, look, this little dumbass blonde girl. Are you Tooth Fairy? Who the hell thought that was a joke?
All right, anyway. So, I mean, I will give the movies credit on this. When we're actually getting robot action, it looks fantastic. You know, if you could find a way to, and I'm sure someone's done this between the, they've what, done four movies now? Something? I don't know.
They did three with Lachette, and then two with Mark Wahlberg.
All right, so they've done, oh God, anyway. I guess I totally forgot about that fifth one, but if you could just take, like, all the human stuff out and just cut together just all the action pieces, I would watch
that for years. I would have much rather Paramount fork over all kinds of cash for a movie about the Transformers, which is what we were supposed to have gotten. I don't care if it's 45 minutes, as long as The Land Before Time is a really short animated film, but it's impactful, it's emotional, and you get everything in one short film. Plus, you get more screenings a day with a short film. not going to see, oh man, Michael Bay's, you know, jerk off session about the Marines and Special Forces and how they hire like all these like lame ass actors to portray serious, you know, members of the Marine Corps and shit like that. And then, oh, it's Shia LaBeouf and his parents doing pot jokes. Oh man, isn't it funny? I would much rather just see 45 minutes of seeing the Autobots land on Earth. The Decepticons have got their. Why is it so damn hard? And God, everybody overcomplicates the simplest things, which is why they can't get a decent G.I. Joe movie off the ground. They've never made a good Transformers movie. While we'll never get a good He-Man movie in current day, we've already got the best He-Man movie. It's going to be top to beat, in my opinion. We'll never get a Thundercats film. We'll never get a Bionic Six, Brave Star, Silverhawks. It ain't happening, people.
I mean, I feel like somewhere down the pipe, those things are going to come out, and they probably won't be good. But we are getting some reactions here in the chat. Grim2 is basically saying it was moving piles of scrap metal. Yeah, like, I was not a fan of those designs in the films by any means. But I'm just saying, when the action was taking place, I thought it looked good. I thought the CG was actually decent.
I felt like they added a lot of unnecessary stuff. Like when you see Optimus transform, and it just kind of felt like, why are they overcomplicating Optimus's transformation? Like, it just feels like there's a lot of stuff there. It's like, what the hell is that? Like, that just feels like you're trying to add more details to something that, look, you don't need to change anything. And of course, adding flames to Optimus Prime was just Michael Bay's. Oh man, yeah.
That sucked.
Having Jazz act like the token black guy, you know, Jesus Christ, man, Scatman Crothers, like that's Jazz. Like, he's not trying to act, you know, like he's from the streets and gang. Like, it's almost as if like that's what Michael Bay thinks all black people are. They're just guys. This looks like a good place to kick it. You know, just
they just put down the cardboard on the concrete and start breakdancing. That's just like his generic.
Yeah, it's just like he's, you know, and yet I would love to just lock in a room all these people that are going to Michael Bay's Transformer films. Like, is it 5-year-olds? Is it 12-year-olds? Is it teenagers who are, you know, oblivious and just think it's the cool movie to go see, much like the latest Marvel movie?
I think it's a combination of all of that. I mean, it is what it is. They've kept, I mean, Transformers is still going strong. I mean, the toys have not left the toy aisle for quite some time, but JSP did say at least we had the games War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron. Yes, those were fantastic. I remember the multiplayer in that, while after it got released, yes, as the months went by, the player count dropped in it, but I had a decent amount of fun with the multiplayer. But the story was really cool, and just the effects, you know, hit a button, transform, hit it, transform back. It was really well done. They need to. I feel like at this point, most of these properties that we do enjoy don't. Live action isn't the way to go. Just stick with animation. Stick with video games, comic books. Just stay there. Don't.
Well, they're always giving it to people who really don't care about this stuff, and that's part of the problem. And the PR thing to say is, oh, I was a fan of the property when I was a kid. Like, that's the most cliche thing you can say to people, that, you know, almost as if like all these properties that are still being merchandised and used and recycled and retooled or whatever, they all want to pretend like there's not a massive fan base, and as if like, you know, we're passionate about this stuff. We like our characters portrayed a certain way, and all these guys who aren't really connected to it, who are just doing it to, it's a means to an end. It's not something that's important, and that's why I hate that Paramount couldn't get someone who really wanted to make a good G.I. Joe movie, who couldn't put together a group to make a really good Transformers movie.
And, well, here's how I see it. I see the executive sitting there. It's like, well, we're going to make Transformers. And then he looks at Billy and Dan, brings him in the office, like, you know, I've walked past your desk and I see little figurines. None of them are Transformers, by the way. Oh, we're doing Transformers. You guys want to do it? Of course, these guys. Oh, they're like, oh, yes. Huge fan. Lying through their teeth. I mean, maybe in some cases they are, but meddling elsewhere just sort of bogs it down. Who knows, man?
That's another thing, too. It's unfortunate that, you know, when people that are higher ups at all these studios inflict their decisions that really botch a movie from a poor casting choice to change. No. Kind of like when you hear about John Waters, legendary, inflictions on films that he demands this and demands that in his films. The director and the actors get the blame for this piece of shit that gets released. They often don't know that it was really the studio exec who showed up and decided, I'm going to cut your budget unless you put in a slick-talking teddy bear that comes to life when Optimus Prime, accidentally takes a shit and on this teddy bear, and he comes to life and starts, dancing around and starts mimicking, Will Smith songs and stuff like that, because that's what's cool with kids. And I want a talking teddy bear with that slang and hip. And you hear that kind of stuff, and we're always just going to assume, which anytime it's a Michael Bay film, I'm pointing the finger at him anyway. But you often feel like, that a lot of these guys are probably trying to make a good movie, and then someone behind the curtain is making them do this goofy stuff of inserting bad dialogue or bad story plot points and stuff like that. And it's a shame that we'll always never know who's really to blame for it. And I know not everybody goes in trying to make a piece of shit film unless they're doing it for a paycheck, and some actors have admitted that. But, I it still just baffles me that, it shouldn't be this hard to make a good Transformers film. And yet fans are always, as we say all the time on this podcast, the fans are always ignored. And it's more about bringing in the casual audience who don't know jack shit about G.I. Joe and Transformers and He-Man and Thundercats and Turtles. Let's reinvent it and change what all the fans love about it. Make it our own. And if they don't like it, well, then they're just a bunch of, adolescent grown men who can't seem to let go of their childhood. It's this whole approach that fans like us have to be down and smacked, cast aside when we're the reason they're doing this. Yeah.
Can I tell you something that just like really broke my fucking heart yesterday when I walked into Walmart to pick up a few snacks for
probably empty toy aisle.
Those new Ninja Turtle figures are out.
Oh
now.
God. Oh Jesus.
Oh, you want to know you want to know the sad thing? The pain apps on those are better than what we got for the 2012 show.
How?
They're just better. The figures themselves actually, like, yes, the designs suck, but they actually look like what they were on the show. You remember when the Turtles from 2012 came out, and they just, how that first set just didn't really look as much like the show as it should have.
They weren't as, I like the simplicity. Sometimes simplicity works all right, and I thought they botched a lot of the later figures. I thought the initial Turtles themselves I thought looked pretty good. They were not as vibrant or didn't pop as much because, I know they tried to do like each turtle has a different color scheme of like a variation of green, but they were definitely, they just weren't as vibrant. Like you look at the original turtle line, like even though Donatello is brown, it pops along with the purple headband. Leo's got dark green with the blue. Raph's got that bright green. I mean, it just, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but then I flipped it over and looked at the back and saw one of the villains, Meat Sweats, and I'm just like, no, God, oh, God. And I just had to, like, walk away. I'm like, I can't do this. And the first one that, like, just my eye just caught was Splinter, and I'm just like, he's short and like fat, and
I saw the first image. I'd never seen him before, other than what Joe described. It popped up on Facebook the other day.
You didn't watch that first episode either, did you?
Hell
I
no.
Did.
I did. Watch it.
I did. It's awful. It's so bad. It's just, oh God.
And just, this is some moron Nickelodeon saying, we need to change things up. We don't want to do the same thing that keeps fans happy. We're going to do something completely radically different because that works so well, when they've done it before. It's just, I'll never understand why they feel like they have to. I mean, there's ways of reinventing or doing a new interpretation, but giving fans what they want and what they expect. And man, just to be so radically silly just to say, oh, look how good.
Yeah.
At some point, like we keep saying, the Marvel superhero bubble is going to bust at some point. At some point, the comedy thing is going to have to stop. It's going to reach a point where kids like, I'm sick of seeing this shit. Like, they're talking to us like we're morons, you know. But being after us adults here, it's all about kids who don't know anything about turtles to begin with. And yet, you know, we're the ones down the toy aisle trying to buy all the figures. The kids are still playing at the phones while the parents are trying to buy the damn toys.
Yeah, that goes back to the discussion that we've had before that I feel like, for the most part, the whole action figure thing is mostly for us now. Kids are too busy in their phones and other stuff, and we're just like, oh, yeah, I remember. You know, like, I think they need to maybe reduce what they're producing to sell to kids and maybe start putting out more of the adult collector stuff in those aisles for us, because I think that would probably help most of the businesses. Because, I mean, you go to Target now and the NECA stuff seems to be selling pretty well. Because it popped in the stores and then, like, they wiped it out for a couple weeks. And I went there last week and they actually had more stuff, but then some new stuff, too. And I'm just like, all right, cool. Maybe I don't know what. That's why we don't get paid the big bucks. That's why we're not sitting in conference rooms in our suits. And
I would just want to know why. I want to know why they make these decisions. Why they choose to, you know, ignore what we keep alive. Why we kept it alive. Like, it's almost as if, like, all these people who work for these companies. I'll give Hasbro credit, because Hasbro, even though they made a lot of, you know, goofy ass Transformers lines and a couple of bad G.I. Joe lines, overall they continue to celebrate and are not ashamed to push the Generation 1 Transformer lineups. They want to commemorate G.I. Joe, a real American hero. You know, it may not sell as great, but they know the adults there are continuing. I mean, they're still doing that collector's line for the adult collectors on Real American Hero, where they're, you know, doing retooling and new sculpts of the vintage characters that you have to sign, like, you know, the He-Man Classic sub. You have to sign up for it and you get the 4, 5, 6 figures and they all look damn good. You know, and it's a shame that we can't, because they're expensive. You try to buy one of those on eBay on the secondary market, you're looking at over $100 for a mint on card. Yeah. You can get the vintage figure mint on card cheaper than that.
How dumb is that? You know,
they released a slice. Slice is one of my favorite villains in the original G.I. Joe line. If you want the new one that Hasbro put out, you're going to have to pay over $100 to get a mint on card. I can get an original mint on card slice for like $30. You know, I don't get it. I guess they only make to order, I guess, or order to make, or whatever.
Made to order.
There you go.
It's like sheets, man, when you're getting food. Made to order.
Pretty much. Made to order. But I'm envious of the Soundwave that Nathan's got, and because I don't have really any Transformers. I mean, I did have a couple of things from years ago.
I mean, I'm like you. When I was a kid, I watched Transformers, but obviously it fell to the back burner when it came to other things, Thundercats, Turtles, Batman, etc. So,
and I couldn't get into Beast Wars either when that came out. Like I didn't like the animation. I thought it looked cheap.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I had never really watched Beast Wars. I know that Sam, terrible name, was super into Beast Wars, and I was just like, I mean, okay. I think at that point when I found out about all of that, the movies themselves just sort of, yeah, like I don't want to do anything with Transformers. No, just get it out of here. Those movies,
yeah,
just,
it's a shame. Yeah, it's they're garbage, absolute garbage. And I know Beast Wars tried to do tie-ins to the, you know, original line. Like, I think like Megatron, I think, shows up in the cameo. I think Optimus Prime is mentioned. But and Matt Hilton, who was a big Transformers nut, like, I'm carrying on the tradition of He-Man and Thundercats and G.I. Joe and Turtles. He's really carrying a flag for Transformers and was watching Beast Wars. I'm like, dude, I can't get into this, man. It just looks ugly. And he swore by it. He thought it was good. My brother liked it a little bit more. And then he tried to get into Beast Machines. I'm like, you're desperately trying to fill this void of, like, watching something Transformers live, because at the time, there's nothing that we like that's currently going. Like, He-Man, G.I. Joe, Turtles, they've all been canceled. Transformers is the only thing that's going, but it's this animal thing. And I just, like, it's not filling the void. You try and like, I can't get in shit, man. So when Rhino was re-released Transformers and G.I. Joe on VHS, I'm like, oh my God, like this is great. So you have to go to like a Sam Goody. I went to Sam Goody like in Fairfax and bought a couple of tapes individually. And
don't start depressing me with the Sam Goody talk, man. I love that store.
Oh, so I do good. Too. But that's what kind of reignited my passion for Transformers, was revisiting the cartoon and really getting into the characters a lot more when I was a teenager. I think it's before I met you. Me and Derek both were really getting back into Transformers. And of course, we always liked G.I. Joe, so we were watching them both continuously at the same time and just getting ourselves reacquainted with the mythology and characters and deciding who was our favorites. Derek was Starscream. I was Soundwave. We both like Megatron. We both like Optimus Prime. I like Jazz. I like Wheeljack.
I'm just going to, I wanted to listen to you take the drink there.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's just funny where like the microphone's right there at your throat.
I said about that.
Anyway, should we jump into this damn thing? Because
let's kick it off here.
All right. Before we get started, link down below. Thanks to Grim 2 for providing us with the link for this episode.
Absolutely,
today.
Bud. Love his support and passion for cartoons like that.
Yeah. Well, sir, you go ahead and give us that infamous countdown, and we'll get it going.
All right, guys. 3, 2, 1, action. And again, always such a classic intro and classic simple theme. And just, I was always curious when I got older too, seeing Thundercracker in the lead of all the airplanes instead of Starscream, which kind of makes me wonder, like, was it an accident or just coincidence? Because you just feel like Starscream would have been prominently displayed because he's always leading the airplanes in the battle. The jet, excuse me.
Well, I imagine you probably got to think, too, that maybe the intro was done sort of before anything else. And they
before they really established that Starscream would be such a prominent villain. And I when I was going through these, I mean, too, I wanted to pick because Nathan likes Starscream and I like Soundwave. And, I mean, this episode really... I mean, we see it before in previous episodes, but this is a prime example of Starscream being firmly established as the guy that's constantly undermining Megatron. Like, God, I love that. That's what I hated was not featured in the first Transformers movie. And, you know, of course, I haven't seen any of them since and don't really care to. Never going to.
And this is what I
would want to see.
Oh, I like that we're already a minute into this thing and it's all, you know, like the story's just moving along at a rapid pace. And God, it goes back to all these other shows that we've done. The other 18 episodes, most of the episodes that we've picked, there's so many things going on in each episode. It's just amazing how they were able to cram so much into 22 minutes and it's good and concise and cohesive. And it's not just all over the place.
Yeah, and with movies, you give them 2 hours, and you're like, it's a jumbled mess. You can't tell what the hell's going on. Kind of like with that shitty new Predator movie that came out. And with this, you could just kind of figure out, and I know with most writers, they're just doing it as a job, and they're trying to do the best they can, but they're not looking at it as, like, mythology building and world building, things like that. But, you know, we watch this as adults, and, you know, you see there's more to it. As kids, you're just enjoying the action and the cool-looking characters and stuff. You know, you look at it a little deeper as an adult and you can appreciate the good storytelling and the lines of dialogue the characters are given and the perils they're put through. Like, how is it they get this right in 22 minutes? They're given 2.5 hours for a film and can't get it right.
You got to make sure Shia LaBeouf gets his shit in, man.
Yeah, got to make sure. Lots of jokes. I mean, we need the jokes. We need the white bread square parent to come in and be silly and stupid, you know. Because we just don't have enough time. We got to make sure we get plenty of time with the special forces, that they're all sitting around talking and talking some more. And then when you think, you know, it's more talking here. And I love underwater bases for all villains. I mean, it's something we need to see in a film is an underwater headquarters for the villains. It's like that in Bionic 6 as well. Dr. Scarab's lair is so badass.
Also, another show that we will cover at some point. I imagine.
I would love to, because I don't think Nathan's ever watched any of the Bond. I think he saw the intro, like, how do you watch this shit? I'm like, dude, it's a badass show, man.
How long ago did I say that?
I think when you had downloaded the entire series on a flash drive for me, you're like, you said you watched the intro.
All right, like, oh, so that God, was like years ago. I'm sure my opinions are different now.
But as we're getting ready to see here, what's going to lead up to a false finish of the possible death of Optimus Prime. And does make me wonder that the boys that were watching this faithfully at the time, were they crying to their parents about, oh my God, man, they killed Optimus, which, you know, it makes for a great episode because it takes Optimus out of the story for a good part of it here. And then comes back.
Which is always a good way to establish your other characters.
Yeah. And really build up the Decepticons. Like Starscream here is like, you know, not every episode they're going to come in and kick ass because, you know, it's a cartoon for kids. Good's got to be triumphant.
Yeah. But it's like wrestling, you know, it's like that Undertaker Jeff Hardy match. You almost believe that Jeff Hardy's gonna do it, but ultimately he doesn't, but it sort of elevates him. That's how I kind of look at this episode.
Yeah, and great cartoons, they take time to build up the roster of villains. Like, don't just have him as throwaway characters standing in the background listening to the lead villain talk. You need to have them interact and showcase their strengths and their weaknesses and who's the more dominant of the group. And to immediately come in here and see Optimus is taken out pretty quickly for the most of the episode, building up, like, he's selling, you know, like, dude, he may die, and we can't do it unless we make it to Cybertron, get back to Wheeljack's shop. And I like Wheeljack. Just his design looks cool. Like showing that he's talking through, like, the piece on the side of his head, like, illuminating like that is so cool. But it's just something I think a lot of us are lacking, where they don't take time to, you know, obviously, every Transformers has gotten an unbelievable roster of characters. Like, I mean, there's so many characters that are just kind of standing there and not really speaking at all. But it just shows it in one shot. You can have so many Autobots, and they're just there, not really doing much. But it's such a vast universe of characters, and this is only the first season. You know,
gotta sell those toys, man.
It is, and I understand that. But as a kid, you appreciate that. You're like, oh, wow. You know, there's Skywarp, and there's Thundercracker, and, you know, and there's Bumblebee. Oh, wait, there's Will, and Jack, Ratchet, Ironhide. I remember as a kid, too, I used to get, because there's some characters I thought were just, in my mind, just evil. And the Decepticons as a kid were just, I thought Megatron was such a douche. And I thought Soundwave was so evil because he'd always find some way of recording something the Autobots, you know, were doing or up to. And it just, in my mind, quite, I'm like, God, man, he's so evil the way he's just stealing information like that. I just had this notion about Soundwave being so obnoxious in that sense as a kid, but God, he's my favorite Decepticon of all of them now. And it's a shame too that all these designs were never used in the films. I mean, Optimus is probably the closest, but to have all these awesome looking characters and they look nothing like the toys or the cartoon characters. Like, yeah. Megatron's was so drastic. You're like, God, he looks ugly. You know, Starscream, I mean, I know they're going to change things a bit, but you kind of feel like, what the hell are you changing it for? They look so damn good.
Put flames on everything.
Yeah, we need more flames. It's like a Vince McMahon decision or something like that.
Probably. When I think of most studio execs, I kind of feel like they have that Vince McMahon mentality of it's just their way, their vision, what they want, and go.
And then if it fails, then they can point the finger at somebody else because they're not going to, you know, have egg on their face. They're gonna walk away unscarred and then fire the person they put the blame on, or...
And then right there is where all the boys start crying.
Yeah. Which makes you feel like, you know, how many angry letters did they get from mothers and fathers from the 80s from boys that were so upset about it, you know? Because, you know, it was stupid for Hasbro to kill off all the characters and just, I mean, but ballsy in a sense to kill them off. But I only disliked it because I didn't care about Hot Rod Cup and RC and the Junkticons and all the other new ones that came along. I just was like, I don't like any of these characters, you know, but I give them credit for doing something so drastic and that something that most cartoons didn't do, and knowing that they were actually going to kill off Duke, you know, and not the whole roster of characters, because in the G.I. Joe movie, I mean, a lot of the older characters are featured prominently in the movie along with the new characters. And I just think it was a smart thing to do. But I think had they had gone the route of, like, we're going to kill off Optimus in this movie just for effect and then bring him back, but knowing they just brought him back because some of the kids were crying about it, you know, I just, I don't know. Maybe, I guess, you know, like, I couldn't imagine Filmation killing off He-Man, knowing, you know, I just, you know, I don't know if I would have cried watching a cartoon, though.
I feel like if they would have killed He-Man, you would have. I really do. I think. You probably would have
bawled. I don't know, because I was watching. I don't know. I didn't cry much at movies when I was a kid, though. Even with stuff that was sad, you know, like watching American Tail or Land Before Time, they were really sad movies, but I never cried watching them.
Yeah, I don't think I really did either, to be honest.
I think only one movie I cried, and that was Willow.
Yeah.
I was scared about the dogs. But other than that, like, movies just didn't make me cry and get emotional, and that's why I kind of like, you know. Plus, I'm also watching Predator and Rambo: First Blood Part 2 and First Blood as a kid, you know.
And you're just like, people die all the time.
People, yeah. It's part of the entertainment. It's not something that.
And part of life.
Yeah.
Let's just bring it down a little bit. Hey guys, we're all gonna die one day.
Yeah, but to me, it was also part of entertainment, from cartoons to movies and stuff like that. Characters do die, so
I think I would be like sad, but I don't think I would cry. You know, like, I'd be like, oh no, like, oh, but I wouldn't like or nothing. Nah.
Yeah, where I would tell my mom, I'm not going to school. I'm not going to participate in art class because Optimus Prime's dead. And you hear that. I mean, like, the Hasbro execs talk about it. Fans have talked about it, that they were so emotional about it. And I just couldn't imagine going to my mom, and nor expecting my mom to write an angry letter and send it to Hasbro saying, how dare you kill off my son's favorite character? I just, you know.
I want to say real quick, that shot as we're going there to Cybertron. I mean, the animation as a whole is really good, but I really like that panning shot of Cybertron.
Oh, yeah, it was like a beautiful matte painting, like expanding the world of Cybertron. And I love Shockwave, too. Shockwave is another character I thought was really, really cool. Just from his, like, you know, the fact that he has no prominent face. His face is made up of essentially a light bulb that just blinks when he talks. And I loved his voice, too.
And see, the beauty of this is the story here is mainly Autobots and Decepticons fighting their never-ending battles. And the humans are just sort of there to, like, move the story along and be sort of like background characters, which is why the movie
opposite of the movies.
Exactly. Oh god.
That's what I was so scared about before the movie even came out. That was my main concern, was that the Transformers were going to be featured very, very little, and it was going to be more about the humans. And sure enough, that's what it was. And I'm sure that wasn't the screenwriter's choice. I'm sure that was something that the almighty Bay and the powers that be at Paramount said, you know, we need more jokes for the people to laugh at and shit like that. But this is what people want to see. This is what a live action movie should have been. You know, like you said, you know, Spike, and I forgot the Chad, I think is his name, guy in the wheelchair. I can never remember. The human characters just, I've always just ignored them because they were never important to me as a kid. And as an adult, I mean, they're there, they don't bother me. They're not trying to act all Shia LaBeouf, but you know, I don't care about them. That's not why I hate it when people who do cartoons, they think that we got to have someone in there for the kids to relate to, because the kids want to be the humans that are talking to the Transformers as wanting to be the Transformer or something like that. I mean, I didn't want to be Orko as a kid. I wanted to be He-Man. I wanted to be Lionel, Leonardo. I wanted to be Flint or Snake Eyes. I didn't want to be, you know, Tyler, the little blonde-haired boy that teams up with the Turtles. Like, no, I wanted to be a Turtle. And I've never understood that mentality where they shoehorn a human character because they need someone for the little boys to relate to. Like, no, I don't need to. I'm not relating to anything other than I want to go around and kick some ass like these heroes in the show do.
If you could be a Transformer, and what would you transform into?
Like from the show, like a choice from the, like, which of these
no, just anything. No, just anything. What would you want to transform into?
A tank. That'd be cool. Yeah, I think transforming into a tank would be pretty badass. With the army green look. Yeah, I think turning into a tank would be kind of cool. How about you?
I'm still sitting here thinking. I was like, damn, I'm posing this question. And I don't even really have an answer for myself.
I think a tank or even like a fast sports car. You know, I think, you know, because it's like, you know, I just think, or even though it was executed so poorly and it clearly didn't sound like Keith David doing the voice, but Barricade in the first Transformers movie was a police car.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool concept, especially knowing that it was a Decepticon disguised as a police car. I'm like, that's kind of like the T-1000 posing as a police officer. Like, I like that idea. It's unfortunate it just was executed so poorly. But that, I think that'd have been a cool one too.
I feel like I would probably either go with a jet or maybe like a helicopter.
Helicopter would be pretty cool. I mean, yeah. Of course, all the jets look cool when they're like, you see Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp. They just look badass just standing there. But yeah, I think if a transforming tank though. Just doesn't seem to it would move as fast as the rest of them because all the Transformers are moving so fast, you know, because most of them are cars essentially. Plus, everyone can fly too, you know, when they're in their Autobot or Decepticon form, or Decepticons can, excuse me. Just continuing to prolong this, you know, his Optimus. And obviously, as a kid too. You know, you buy the peril, but you don't really buy that they're going to kill someone.
Well, all right. That's the thing, because I feel like shows do this a lot. I remember Power Rangers when I watched it, always infamous for that sort of thing. Oh, they might not make it this time, but they always do. Did you ever reach a point with these shows where you're just like, all right, I know in the end the good guys are going to win?
It was just a matter of how they're going to win.
Okay.
Yeah, that's I kind of figured out that formula a lot. It never took away my pleasure because I still enjoyed, you know, every show from whatever it was. It was more like how they're going to get out of this. Like, you know, they're not going to lose. It's kind of like with the same thing with wrestling. Like, when you saw a job match, you knew the heel was going to win or the babyface was going to win, but how?
Yeah, you know? But then they broke the mold.
When the 1-2-3 kid comes out and Big Razor, I lost my mind when I saw that.
Yeah, so, I did too. I was like, oh my God, like this is different.
Yeah, I was livid when I saw that. So and I do appreciate it so much more. And I wish cartoons had taken a lot more chances, and some do, you know, where they push the envelope in terms of content and don't shy away from, let's not give the kids what they're expecting. Let's you know, up the ante and actually, you know, make the situation or the repercussions a little bit more severe and let them know that there is a loss here. And, you know, I think had they decided to kill off one Autobot, a prominent Autobot like Cliffjumper or Ironhide, you know, a character that's used pretty frequently. And showing like, and that's why I appreciate that. That's what they wanted to do with G.I. Joe and trying to kill Duke off. That, you know, characters do die in war, and I think they did that with Problem with Power, which, you know, I've said on Fans of Power, I thought could have been a really good episode. It just, I think it needed more time to expand on that content. But I think it's important that, you know, you don't need to see, go in depth, but that, you know what, characters should occasionally, there should be an unfortunate casualty, I think. You know? I mean, God, but I still can't imagine, like, if I was watching Thundercats and Panther got killed, I just don't see myself going to my parents and losing my shit and telling them, and just collapse right there in the kitchen floor.
Is this coming up a lot because you're going to go see the movie here in a few days and you're kind of just mentally prepping for what might happen when you're in the theater?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm just, because I like watching the death of Optimus Prime because it's great, it's emotional, it's impactful, and they're selling it because he is officially dead, and we all know he only came back because the kids are crying about it. So I like that. I like it up to that point and up to where we hit the epic meeting of Unicron and Megatron in outer space, which with Vince DiCola's kick-ass score. I think all that's great. It's after that where I'm like, I don't care about any of this.
Look at Soundwave kicking ass here.
Yeah, Ravage.
Obviously, this is the highlight of the episode for me. It's all building up to this, you know?
Yeah, and it's a fun action season to see the Decepticons come out and pretty much kick ass. You know, it's good to see them, you know, written as, you know, they don't always just walk away getting their ass kicked. Like, they can come in and take out the Autobots. They may not walk away victorious at the very end of it, but you can't just have them used as just cannon fodder all the time. Like, so many villains were used, and I think you watch a lot of cartoons, you know, a lot more in depth, you'd see there are a lot of times where the villains really are written a lot more dominant than I think what some people may or may not remember. And just seeing, like, here's the aftermath of the battle. Like, the Decepticons are victorious. Like, Jazz laying on the ground. I mean, it's just cool. And then I love this setup of this confrontation of one and Starscream just relishes it. And another thing, too, is that some of these voices were so distinct and unforgettable. And then you get these lame-ass ones that were not as good. Like when they said that Hugo Weaving was doing Megatron, you would never know it when you watched the movie. Because I thought, oh my God, Hugo Weaving playing Megatron? That sounds awesome. Keith David is Barricade? Hell yeah. And you don't know it's them because they've altered their voices. Like, you don't, that's the reason you picked them to do the voice. Idiots.
Yeah.
And of course, no one's going to be able to top Chris Latta is Starscream / Cobra Commander. Like, it's, I mean, he's up there with John Irwin as He-Man, Oppenheimer as Skeletor, Welker as Megatron, Peter Cullen as Optimus. I mean, there's some voice actors that there's no actor on this planet that's going to be able to bring the kind of magic that those guys did to the heroes and villains of the cartoons of the 80s. That's a cool shot there. Starscream with his arms crossed, they're all standing there.
Yeah,
looking down at Megatron.
Yeah, I like how smart-assed he is about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, if anybody who would want to get into the show and kind of figure out who is who, like this, I think this is one of those key episodes. And I always love these bumpers. These bumpers are cool. It'd be a great way to introduce, like,
I always like this theme right here.
Yeah, it's catchy.
Yeah.
And no jingle to it. It's just music, you know. And oh God, it's just like if you were to go into a boardroom with a bunch of studio execs, it was like, all right, young man, what would you do? What do you want from us here? You know, we hear you bitching on your little podcast and this and that. What the hell do you want from us? And like, all right, smart ass, I'll show you exactly what I want. And then like, I love it.
You're hired.
Hire this man here. You're hired.
Puke's good.
Yeah, puke. Can you puke on command? Yeah. We need a transformer that can puke. Yeah.
He's gonna puke. God.
Yeah, it really does feel like anytime there's a meeting about any of these properties, there's a Vince McMahon personality sitting at the head of the table. You know, you just smeared shit all over the 80s with this pitch, you know. And then he's got his Johnny Ace. Oh, well, yeah, what a very good idea. Or just like dinosaurs that become robots. I love it.
Oh, yeah. I like that Grimlock.
Yeah, just...
You got a good Johnny Ace, man. I can't get the... Oh. I can't talk like that. It would just fall apart instantly for me if I tried to do Johnny Ace.
People talk like Johnny Ace too, and they all try to do that.
Hey, Nathan.
Yeah.
You got to work today. You got to go in. We really need to come in early today.
Oh, man.
Hey, Grimbot, thanks for sending us that link today.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this. It's just fun to make fun of people in wrestling.
Yeah, but, wrestling impressions are always good.
I hope this our first, because I'm not going to pretend like I'm as well versed in Transformers lore as I am with like He-Man and Thundercats and G.I. Joe, because I'm not. I'd say I'm like Nathan is about He-Man. I'm above the fan Transformers because I do appreciate and love the Generation 1 universe. I love it a lot. I don't know the characters as much. But that's all I want to see is stuff from Generation 1. I could care less. I don't mind seeing new characters, new Decepticons, new Autobots, but I gotta have my essential core characters, you know, in my Transformer, in the Transformers that I want to see. So if I screwed up any kind of info on the characters, their names or something like that, you know, I apologize and feel free to correct me on any of it because I'm not trying to pass myself off as, you know, the Lanny Poffo, the genius of Transformers universe, because I'm not trying to be.
Leave a comment down below and tell Tyler that he really fucked up and this is who this was and he's not a true fan and he should just take all of his stuff, all of his He-Man stuff, and just give it to me.
Yeah, of course he will, and then it'll just collect us, and if it's like, I got a box all up. I don't know where it's at. I think I've got to set it out somewhere here, much like his He-Man DVDs.
Yeah. Well,
that's going to happen.
Well, speaking of He-Man DVDs, also in that tub is my Thundercats DVDs, which I think it's time, episode 20, next time we pop in on here, we need to, let's do some Thundercats.
Are you ready to head to Third Earth?
Yes.
All right. It's official. Next week will be our first episode of Thundercats, but we won't do Exodus. I think we should do something like the Thundercutter, or we should do Jackalman's Rebellion, or the Mountain, or the Ghost Warrior.
We'll figure it out. We always do.
Yeah, not. That's what I like. I don't want to do what people. If we're going to do cartoons, like we have to do like the first episode of this and the first episode of that. Like, No.
The whole point of this is we are like your Saturday morning cartoons. You tune in and you don't know what you're really going to get. It could just be some random ass episode, and that's usually the case.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. Because I feel like if we were to do the first episode of our series, that's what people would expect. It's cliche. It doesn't leave a bit of excitement because we're going to do what you expect. And to kind of dig deep and throw a random episode in, it's a good episode. That's the way this podcast should always be. I think with Thundercats, we'll do... Let's see. Is next weekend the first weekend of October?
No.
Okay.
Close, but no.
Well, maybe we'll have to do the Ghost Warrior in some part of October, because that's kind of a it's a ghost story, so we ought to do that in one particular episode of that. Maybe we'll do that in the first weekend of October or something like that, because I think in October we really ought to do kind of episodes like we ought to do like a Scarecrow episode from Batman the Animated Series, we ought to do the Ghost Warrior from Thundercats, we ought to do I forgot what it's called too. Of course there's a couple of episodes in G.I. Joe that could be used for kind of like kind of horror aspect episodes. So I got a couple of those in mind too. So we'll make sure that October will be more of the kind of monster slash kind of horror aspects of these cartoons. Yeah,
that'll be good.
Something like that.
JSP does pose a question to us. Are we doing it next Saturday or Sunday? And
that's going to be up to this guy here.
It's always up in the air because Saturdays, on occasion, it seems like it's going to be picking up a little bit. I will be working overtime. So it just sort of depends on how I'm feeling towards the end of the week and getting up on Saturday. And it's like, well, do I want to do this before I go into work or not? But we'll keep you posted. I'll do a better job of making sure that the link to the live stream that we do is up, so you get the notification that yes, it will be on this day or on this day. I think we should aim to try to do it on Saturday. I need to get back in the habit, regardless of how tired I am or not. We gotta do it on Saturday
because I need to get your ass to bed a little earlier.
Well, when you get off of work and you get home on Friday night at 1 a.m., technically Saturday by this point, and then you shower and you eat your dinner and you kind of just start to settle, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. So, and I'm like, I gotta keep going a little bit. I gotta enjoy some semblance of the weekend. But no,
think about the people that are waiting around anxiously for this podcast. Nathan's like, nah, man, I got it.
I'm tired. I'm just so tired. Yeah. I mean, that's basically how it happens when I get home. I eat and I'm sitting there like watching something. I'm like, ha, that was funny.
Yeah,
just, and I'm just gone. Yeah.
Mouth wide open, just like Emily.
When I sleep is my mouth open. I have to be like dead ass tired. And usually when my mouth's open, that's when I start drooling a lot. But that doesn't happen that much.
It's always a sign that you slept really hard when you get like the stain of like dryness on the side of your mouth. Like, oh God, oh boy, I slept really good. Look at the white stain on my mouth from all the drool.
Oh, I see. I didn't know where you're that. That was my brain
only
was going
were
another
gonna take
territory.
That,
well, you know, JSP says you could do it Friday night after work. See, that's the thing. Tyler and I are complete opposite spectrums of when we sleep and when we're awake. This guy, he's the early bird. Up at 6 a.m. ready to go. He's like, yeah, bring on the day. And I'm probably at that point sometimes just going to bed. So
yeah. I'm in bed even on Friday nights. I'm in bed 9:30, 10 o'clock at max.
Man.
Because I want to get up early Saturday morning so I can get up, eat breakfast, and go get my workout in and then have my day to kind of do whatever I want to do or don't want to do. You know, I can have it and there's plenty of time, whereas Nathan just sleeps it away. Well, it's been like that since I've known Nathan. We've always been on two different, you know. I'm waking up, Nathan's just going to sleep. That's kind of how it's always been.
Yeah, I mean, even when he would early on in our friendship, when he'd come and stay over, I would keep him up late, and he was still up relatively early. So, man, I'm so tired. I'm like, well, yeah, dipshit, you slept like 3 hours. Go back to sleep. Oh man, gotta get up.
Yeah, Nathan's sitting there with his hair all flopped over, like buried up. You know, would never give me the bed. Him sleeping on the floor, I'd sleep on the floor.
Yeah,
It was funny. Like the first bit, like hangout of like me, his cousin John, and Josh all staying over at Nathan's place. Nathan's got this big, prominent bed that's so much higher off the floor.
Yep. Queen size bed looking down on all my peasant friends laying in the floor in their sleeping bags.
It was like first one wake up like, I'm hungry. I want to do something, but I had to lay here and just kind of be patient and wait for everyone else to wake up so we can either play a video game or watch a movie or Nathan start calling John names or something like that. I got to sit here. Maybe if I like by accident, like wake him up, like then he'll have to get up and start entertaining us and stuff like that. You know, it's always that kind of rapport you have to conduct when you stayed.
That's the thing too. I'm just like, well, I mean, you could have got up and did that. There were times too that my parents were like, hey, we made breakfast. I'm still like sleeping tired. I was like, oh yeah, biscuits and bacon and shit. And I'm just like, oh, I'm not hungry.
Yeah. Just Nathan doesn't eat.
Yeah, so I'm just
waits,
never.
He waits and eats lunch at 5 o'clock in the evening.
I'm not. When I wake up, man, it's got to be a good 2-3 hours before I'm hungry. I'm just not one of those people that can wake up and just eat something. If I do that, it's guaranteed that it immediately upsets my stomach. If if I get up too early and I don't sleep enough, sometimes I'll wake up and my stomach's upset. I feel like that was a problem a lot in high school. Anyway, we're kind of diverting off of this, and we got about roughly 15 minutes before we start our first year.
I still had to eat something, too.
Yeah, our first year anniversary of Beyond Retro Fan Appreciation Q&A. So Grim 2 JSP, you guys hang around for a few minutes, and we will have that episode going. But yeah, if you guys are new to this channel, hit that subscribe button, ring that bell so you get notified when we go live, and check all the links down below. We have the audio archive on Podbean. If that's kind of not your thing, go to beyondretropodcast.com, which will take you to sort of the Beyond Retro Hub page of Pop Culture Network, which is also the keywords on iTunes. If you want to find us on there, just Pop Culture Network. That'll pop up. Capes and Commentaries, Beyond Retro, and Tyler and Joe Amato's He-Man podcast, Fans of Power. I'm getting better at this. I'm getting it. Now I just got to reach the point of saying that, and then at the end of it, not being like, nailed it. Just got to leave it what it is and transition from there. But
yeah, you'll get to it. It'll become, you know, I mean, it's only been a year on Beyond Retro. We still can't get the innings right, you know, but I like the fact that we're not as professional as people probably would expect.
I wouldn't want us to be. I would never want us to be like super professional.
No, it lets us know that, you know what, we do a podcast and we're just people like everybody else talking about this stuff. We're not claiming to be, just because we do a podcast, we're so much above everybody else and we know more this and that shit.
No.
We're just, you know, we have a mic and we're just venting frustrations in a more entertaining way. You know, that's all it is.
Oh, goddamn, they fired me.
Yes.
If people are like, why did he just say that? Yeah, no, it's when Stone Cold got fired from WCW and Paul Heyman brought him into ECW. He's like, what? Paul Heyman's like, what are you doing? He's like, sitting on my ass. Goddamn, I got fired. Like, well, you want to talk about it? Sure. Well, on air? Okay. So, yeah, we just air our grievances. Talk about shit we like and sometimes shit we don't like. And
yeah, because I don't think it's enough praise for this stuff, which is why we do the podcast on Capes and Commentaries. Cartoons are not getting the detailed affection and appreciation. You've got schmucks on YouTube making fun of it or saying, oh, it was great, with the most insipid, bleak, you know, expressions of appreciation. I'm like, that's it? That's all you got to say about this stuff? Get the hell out of here.
All right. I'm going to cut you off there. Yeah, you got to eat something before we get this other show going. But thanks again to Grim 2 and JSP for joining us live in the chat. Anyone else joining us after the fact, hope you enjoyed us. And we will catch you next week for some Thundercats.
Hell yeah.